You're listening to the Legacy Church Podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Woo!
Three of us are thrilled about that. Come on! People becoming the church. Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to dive into this series, and we've been kind of introducing it really over the last couple of weeks. And today we're going to kind of launch into it, to the challenges of it. And there are 12 challenges. We'll cover one today, and then for the next 11 weeks, we're going to go on a journey together to really discover what it means to become the church. Now, when you hear that, you might go, well, that's kind of weird. Isn't the church just like, you know, Sunday morning, and you get some coffee, come on in, and like two fast songs, a slow one, offering. We kind of have these ideas that we have what church looks like and what church should be, thoughts, experiences, attitudes, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right, of maybe what we've experienced growing up. I've been around the church a long time and kind of grew up in it, and I'm grateful for that heritage, honestly. I'm glad I got to, but I also got to see a lot of the stuff, kind of a lot of the drama or the politics of church or just some of the things over the years. And I thank God that I really believe the church is in a resurgence, and I think that it's getting healthy, and I think there's some really exciting, it's just a great day to be a part of the church. Can somebody say, yeah? I mean, yeah, that's the truth. So we're gonna go through these challenges, and I'm gonna ask you over the next 11 weeks to just really do everything that you can to engage on this journey with us. If Legacy, just kind of you consider you've been around here a few weeks or a few months, or you know what, we've only been around here 11 months. So if you're just kind of jumping in today, we're a brand new fellowship that we feel like God's called us to be on mission right here, literally and figuratively, literally and spiritually, to really make a difference and see what he wants us to do. And I think this series is going to help unpack some of the identity, some of who we are and who God's called us to be. So, man, I'd love to have you along on the journey. We're using, kind of leveraging a book written by my friend Wes Davis entitled People Becoming the Church. Before we launched Legacy, I toured around to different churches and visited and wanted to just kind of, how many know it's good? You can go ahead and steal ideas. I mean, there's a lot of good ideas out there worth stealing, and kind of what your program ought to look like or the lights or whatever. There's just a lot of good things on the periphery that are stealable. And so I went out there and just, but it wasn't so much the stuff in writing at New Life on the peninsula. It was just a culture. It was something about the people, the excitement that I sensed there. And Wes, at the end of my visit with him, handed me this book, and I said, you know what, we got to do this, and began to just pray about where we would go in the fall, and this landed on this series, because I think it's going to be important when we get to the end of this year. In fact, in a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating our first birthday as a church. Come on. 1 year old right there. And that's October 14th. You don't want to miss that day. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing some memorable things to celebrate that and the year that God has kind of helped us get launched. But this series kind of goes through that, and then it takes us into our second year. And I really believe it sets the table for who God is calling us to be as a fellowship of believers. And so if you're diving in with Legacy Church, and again, you're throwing your hat in, you're saying, we're in, I'm in, let's do this, then you don't want to miss this. And you're gonna see unfold before your eyes, and I think us collectively, what God is saying to us as Legacy Church. We believe the hour is urgent. There's an urgency that we don't have a lot of time to waste, listen, trying to convince the already convinced. You know what I'm saying by that? Like, you know, we're not trying to just draw up other Christ followers from other churches. Somebody say amen. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, God, who are you calling to run with us so we can reach people who have yet to hear or yet to know or yet fully understand the hope that is available to them in Christ? So that's going to be fun to do that journey together. So today, again, we're going to begin the challenges. I'm going to share the first challenge with you a little bit kind of further in the message, because I think there's some non-negotiables that we need to talk to set the stage for where we're going. And so you can just write this down in your note sheet. I think there's a sheet in your program. Write these words down. Everything begins with Jesus. Let's just get that there. Everything begins with Jesus. In fact, you might even write everything begins and ends with Jesus. And so what I want to do is I'm going to try this pen here. Oh, that's a good one. So there's one. I'm going to just go ahead and put all three circles in here. Why don't I do that? Okay. Looks like, don't start singing Mickey Mouse, but everything begins and ends with Jesus. So these are going to be some non-negotiables that we want to talk about. And the first one is Jesus. First non-negotiable. We need to be clear on who he is. He came, stepped out of eternity and into time, fully God, fully yet fully man, the second person of the Trinity. He was from the beginning. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, the Word already existed, capital W. The Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Verse 14, I love this. So the Word became human and made his home among us. I like what the Message Bible says there. It says, so the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. That's pretty cool. Moved into the neighborhood and dwelt among us, you King Jamers. He lived a sinless life on earth. He was the perfect reflection of his heavenly Father. Colossians 1:15, Paul writes, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Hebrews 1:3, the writer says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. You want to see who God is, look at Jesus. You want to see how God, what the character and the nature of God, look at Jesus. This is why we tell people who are brand new in their faith journey, read through the Gospels. In fact, we ought to all read through the Gospels just every year. Just read through the Gospels and just really understand and know who Jesus is. Some people, there's a lot of different mindsets about God. People think, well, you know, God's always mad, or God's always judging people, or, you know, God is, you know, you got, again, all these different ideas and thoughts, and just read the Gospels. Jesus says, I and my Father are what? Are one. So look at Jesus, and you're going to get a good picture of who the Father is. So non-negotiable one is Jesus, understanding who he is. Second non-negotiable is this word, is Jesus comes and he's on a mission. Well, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's on a mission of love. It's a rescue mission. It's God's efforts to save humanity from sin and death and evil, reconnecting heaven and earth. I love that. Jesus steps out of eternity and into time, and he's on mission. Christ suffered, 1 Peter 3:18 says, for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. Jesus is on mission to save us from brokenness and the darkness of this world. Anybody glad with me about that? Yeah, sure. 2 Corinthians says this, 5:17 says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are created new. New things have come. Old things have passed, which means you don't have to carry around that dead, those dead bag of bones. You don't have to, Colton was talking about earlier, you don't have to carry those skeletons in the closet. You know what I'm saying? It's like oh man, I mean, life would have been great if not for this stuff back here. You can just leave, cut that stuff off and say, in Jesus' name, old things have passed away, all things become brand new. That ought to just encourage somebody today just to know that in Christ, that's a reality for us. And so Jesus is on a mission and to seek and save those who are lost. The third non-negotiable, anybody have a guess what that might be? Starts with a C. It's a church. These are non-negotiables. These are like the buck stops here. These are critical to the life of the church, who we are. And the church is that Jesus began. Jesus commissioned the church. I love what he says. He says to Peter, he says, I say to you, you're Peter, which means rock. And he says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. All the powers of hell. I love what, after the Last Supper in the upper room, he takes a basin of water and a towel, and he proceeds to wash the disciples' feet. And we know that that was for Peter, and probably for most of the guys, very uncomfortable. Like if I invited one of you up here and said, hey, come on up here, Rick, just take your shoes off and go ahead and wash them here in front of everybody. That would just be like, that would be tough for you. Nobody wants to do that. And Jesus was sending out a message. He wanted them to see the Son of God, the one who would pay the ultimate price on the cross for our sin. This is how you need to love and serve people. There's no one that is beneath you. There's no service to people that ought to be beneath you. Like, well, I do this and this, but I don't know about that. That's for somebody else. He's working through a commissioned, powerful church, and yet a church that loves, and a church that is, you know, and here's what's interesting. Think about these three elements, these three non-negotiables. We want to ask the question, so why is the church in America, and maybe even around the world, but specifically in America, do you realize we're in many states, many places, the condition of the church, it's a little bit frightening. Like there's a movement right now to begin new churches, like cross-denominationally, we're opening and starting new churches. New churches are being launched because we're almost literally closing as many as we're opening in a given year. They're just dying. You see them on the kind of side of the road and they're just like closed, or they become like antique stores. How many of you have seen that? Like that's kind of sad. You drive through a town, like, oh, look at that, it's a church. No, it's at Bob's Antique Store, right? And so that's a problem. And so I believe this is the greatest day, you know, that the church is indeed the hope of the world. So the question to us is, why isn't it accomplishing? Well, why do we see such a deficiency as it relates to the church worldwide? What is it? What's the blockade? And I think it's some mindsets that we have when it comes to the three non-negotiables. I think there's some things that I think we have to look at and some questions we have to ask. For example, you might see somebody who would say, you know, I'm good with, again, there's nobody that would discount any of these, but there's seasons in life. I'm going to speak for me personally. There are times that my life hasn't been always kind of hitting on all cylinders. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like hitting all of these equally. Like, yeah, I'm all in. You know, there have been seasons where, you know, sometimes for us and for Christ followers, it's all about Jesus and the mission. So we're good here, right? This is good. Good with Jesus and the mission. But how many of you have talked to, or maybe you've been one, where the church just really wasn't a priority in your life? Like, I'm all about Jesus, Pastor Gary, and I'm all about doing stuff for him. I love the Lord. I listen to worship at home. I mean, I'll go and I'll give to, you know, the gospel mission. And in fact, I'll even go serve some meals around Christmas time. But don't ask me to go to church. Man, I've been hurt by the church. I've been blah, blah by the church. And the church is blah, blah, blah. And I've got, anybody know what I'm talking about? So we're like, we're striking on two cylinders, but we're not hitting on all three of them. And I think that can be a problem. In fact, if I live like that for too long, just Jesus and the mission, what can happen is I can become, watch this, I can become spiritually, you don't have to worry about reading that, just trust me, it says spiritually. Spiritually, what does that say? Alone. How do you know people that's like live in isolation? Like, I'm good with this and this, but and they live in isolation. But Jesus thought the church was important. In fact, he commissioned the church. He infused us. He says, go now and do the same thing. Go and make disciples. Go and gather the people together. So the church is important. In fact, Hebrews says, you know, don't forsake the gathering together. Don't neglect meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing. Do that. So that's Jesus' mission minus the church equals spiritually alone. Some are okay to say, you know what? I'm all for mission and church. I'm good with that, but you know. And it's not like you just like omit Jesus from the equation, but sometimes we can be so into to doing church stuff and staying busy for Jesus that we miss Jesus. Anybody know what I'm saying? We just do a lot of stuff. And we pastored in Detroit. I get this. Just showing up in Detroit, you're on a mission field. And we just all for the church. We were busy. We're working in the field. And we had to like remind who, like you had to remember who we doing this for. Because too much of this and this can lead us to we'll just lead us to this, just being empty. And I've met way too many people in the years that I've been around church life. Too many people say, you know what, I just got burned out. And generally it's directed at the church, right? I just got burned out, man. That place, they just make you work. And they just want you to sign up for another ministry. And anybody know what I'm talking about? You kind of hear that kind of thing, right? So that's this. Too much of this I'm not refreshing in Jesus. I'm not growing in him. I forgot the why, and here's the why. Then I burn out, become empty. So let's go to the last one. What about Jesus and the church? Like, man, I'm good on this one. I'm just using my finger now. Okay. So I'm all in here. I love my church. I love Jesus. It's all about Jesus and church. I talk about my church all the time. I go to church on Sunday is what we do. And in fact, I'm there on Wednesday and I'm at rehearsal on Thursday. And then I'll go to the serve thing on Saturday. It's Jesus and church. The problem here can be, sometimes if we're not careful, we get so fixated here that we forget about the mission, honestly. We could become accidental Pharisees. And we can, if we're not careful, become spiritually bored. Like, oh yeah, another sermon series. Oh yeah, like I said earlier. Oh yeah, too fast one, slow one. Oh yeah, the coffee's a little better this week, and wasn't good last week. And I wonder what they're going to do different. And wonder if they're. And we start looking like that, like this is the end all. And I'm telling you, what leads to this is when we lose sight of the mission. That's all I'm saying. We lose sight of the mission. As we launch into people becoming the church, we have to look at this and take an honest assessment of this. And I want to just tell you today that thriving people, people who are becoming the church, happens right here. It's where all the three of those circles connect. This is where life happens. You start to thrive. You see all three areas working in you and through you. Again, it's where people becoming the church are we're living right here to our full potential. I like what Wes writes in the book. He says, someday the world is going to need this. It's going to need you at your full potential. And so as we look at these, I want to ask you the question before we get into the challenge. Which one is missing in your life? Which one of these is lacking in your life? Which one of these, as a rule, kind of just starts slipping? Which one is most difficult? I think we have to start there. We have to ask ourselves that question. And then it just naturally rolls right into the challenge that all of us face. Challenge number one in people becoming the church. It's a challenge that if we get this right, if we get this right, it actually has a ripple effect on every single one of the challenges that we're going to be talking about in the next 11 weeks. Here it is. Ready? Challenge number one. You can write this down somewhere. Say yes to Jesus every day. Say yes to Jesus every day. This is a challenge number one, and I want to tell you it's the key to all of the others. You got to ask yourself this question. What is Jesus saying to me? Could it be that he's inviting you to reconnect with him? So as I began to write these circles, you began to kind of hear a little bit of the backstory on these. Was there any point where you're going, kind of one of those moments? Like, yeah, that. Could it be that he's inviting you to reengage on mission with him? Could it be he's inviting you to resist isolation and step into the life of the church? Not only for you, but for those who need you. See, these are challenges. We're going to be talking about challenges that will kind of hit us right. Kind of make us go, you know, I got to really think about that. I got to really wrestle with that. What do you mean say yes to Jesus every day? See, saying yes to Jesus every day means saying no to me. And I know me, and me has a loud voice. Me, now I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about me right now for a second. Me can get really selfish. Me can become very self-centered. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me right now. This is me. Me can get very all about my world. It's funny. I told a story here a few weeks back about the day Patty took me up on our road bikes with the click-in shoes and the spandex pants. There we go up the hill. The Quinnamos Trail. She took me up there. She said, here's what she said. She said, the hills are gradual. Just like that. The last thing I heard in my head, my mind was just gradual. And it was a hot, smoky day in August when we were during the fires and it was really bad. And I could see her just way, way up there. And I was going, I'm not even kidding you. And I just said, my mind said, no. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I snapped out of those things. And I got off my bike and started walking. I'm just walking. She comes back. Everything okay? Yeah, it's fine. I'm good. I'm just good, you know. Quinamos Trail. It's tough, tough road. Tough. It's gradual. So what happened is just a few days ago, she said, let's go on a ride. I want to do a ride. But here's the deal. Here's what I'm trying to say to you is, see, Patty is, she's committed to keeping me alive past 60. She's committed to, like, she wants to feed me well, wants me to make good eating decisions. She wants me to exercise. She's committed to that. And I know that. I know that. But I fight that. I fight it. So she said, oh, let's go. I got another road. It's not as, and she's trying to explain the hills on the Saltes Flats. She says, it's not as, you know, and so my attitude when she was trying to convince me, in fact, she at one point finally said, I'm not trying to talk you into going with me. I'm just trying to describe to you the hills that are on the trail. This was not a pretty moment in our home. It was a robust conversation. And I said, describe the hill. Okay, you said that last time. You said it was gradual, right? But it wasn't. It was like I was dying. I did go on the Saltes Flats. It's an amazing ride. The next day I wanted to do it again. It's a great ride. Go try it. But here's the point. Sometimes saying yes to Jesus means saying yes to your spouse. Because this body is, right, it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants me to use this and steward this body well, right? This goes for all of us. I'm just saying, sometimes it's the most practical ways that Jesus is trying to speak to us. Look what the Bible says. Verse 24, Matthew 16, says nothing about the Quinamos Trails, but watch this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Matt, that same passage in the Message Bible says it this way. Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Like, that's like in your face. See, part of our problem is, and part of my problem, is we have center of the universe thinking. It's kind of like the Aristotle, Ptolemy, kind of way back when they thought, when it was a, let's put it this way, it was an earth-centered universe thinking. Earth-centered universe thinking. For a lot of years, they thought the earth was in the middle. And there were these brilliant people like Aristotle who believed that the earth was the center of the solar system. And then this 16th century Polish astronomer by the name of Nicholas Copernicus arrives on the scene and he proposes the Copernican model, which is a sun-centered solar system. It's like, now that changes everything. And the point is this, we had all the right things, right? A sun, moon, earth, other planets, but they had them all in the wrong order. What does that have to do with anything? Here's what it means. It means that some of us need a Copernican revolution, because that began a revolution. We need a Copernican revolution. We have all the right things in place. We just got them in the wrong order. Some of us think that God orbits around us. God, I thought you wanted me to be happy. Right? God, I thought my life was supposed to be a blessing. See, from the time we're born, everything revolved around us, nursed, swaddled, spoon-fed, diapers changed. And that's great between 0 and 2. But 22? 32? 52? That's a problem. See, if we're not aware, here's the deal. We can live life as if God orbits around us. And in our prayers and in our conversations, it's a lot about me and I, and I deserve that. I have this coming to me. God does not orbit around us. We orbit around Him. He must be at the center. Here's what I have to remind myself. When my back bristles, I need a Copernican revolution. I said, Lord, there's something else. There's something you're working in me. That life is not all about me and my comfort. And my prayer shifts from, watch this, from God, what can you do for me, to here's what I need to do, Lord. What is it that I can do for you? God, I want to serve you. I want to keep you ever before me as I orbit around you. Isn't that a better position to be in? Where, Lord, here you are. I just want my life to just circle around you. Ever before you, God, I just want, Lord, what is it that you want? How can I serve your purposes in my life today? Say yes to Jesus every day. How do I do that? How do I say yes to Jesus every day? I need to get familiar with his voice. How many know Jesus is talking? Jesus is speaking every day when you wake up. I'm telling you, you will do better at hearing his heart and his voice if you begin your day tuned into his voice and his heart. Opening the word, maybe playing some worship. Different ways that you, however you could, maybe it's listening to some worship on the way to work. However you would want, would do that. Finding a way to just hear his voice, to read his word, to understand his heart. John 10, Jesus is speaking. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. When we were growing up as kids, I guess that's what you do. You grow up as kids. We used to like to play outside in a field. Anybody with me? Anybody about my age? Like, we used to play outside. We call our friends and we meet at the junior high field and we play tackle football or we play basketball on the courts. And we'd be out there playing, you know, it's after school and we did our homework. We're out now, we're just playing and we're just Southern California, the sun is hot, we're playing. And all of a sudden, I knew it was time to go home when I heard this very familiar, my dad wouldn't shout, we'd be blocks away, but I would hear the whistle. Now plug your ears for a second, but this is a little bit what it sounded like. We'd be playing, all of a sudden, my God, we just knew that was dad's whistle. And he would do it like this, all right? That's how he did it, but I didn't. But I can do both, but that I do better. But we knew that whistle, and Joe and I we'd run home. It was dinner time. Listen, we'd run home. Dinner's waiting, get there. We were familiar with his voice, or with the whistle, and his voice, and the bell. And we were familiar. It's interesting, around that same time period, maybe even younger, about 8, 9, 10 years of age, I had one of those phonographs. Remember those phonographs? You open it up and it's like somebody just, some of the millennials are like, phonograph? Like, what is that? It's like before eight-track cassettes. And cassette tapes. But I had a little record player that I would sit, my mom would tell me, you'd sit there forever and just listen to records. listen to records. We're a little bit of a musical family, so that was just something I loved to do. And as I grew just a little bit older, I was a kid to like 11, 12 years old, and the way church was back at that time in my life, the offering was always time for somebody in the church to get up and sing a song or play their, like some junior higher would get up and play his saxophone or trumpet solo or something. And all the parents, oh, I love it. Probably good. And I get up and sing, but I'd listened so much to I'm going to date myself here, like B.J. Thomas. B.J. Thomas released a Christian album, so this was after Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And I just listened over and over in different voices. I got family members that recorded albums, and I would listen to it and listen to it. I'd listen to it. I got into high school, Lionel Richie, and I listened to Kenny Rogers, and I listened to all these different like singers, Buzz Skaggs, and I'd listen to these, just listen. But I wouldn't just listen for that. There were things that I could hear that sometimes even Patty will say, well, I didn't even hear that. How did you pick that up? Just listening intently. But the B.J. Thomas, so the problem was I'd get up in front of the church and I'd sing a B.J. Thomas song, just like B.J. Thomas. At least in my mind, it was like B.J. Thomas, right? So there people are watching this 12-year-old kid sound like, let's build a real love. What? And they'd ask me after, what did you do? What was that? What were you doing? I was singing like B.J. Thomas, But here's the point. The point is I would just, it was listening intently, listening closely. I thought to myself, for all the time I spent listening to those voices, records and cassettes, what if I just listened to Jesus? And in fact, I got to this point, I said, and I just put my stuff down, and I said, Lord, I want to know your voice. I want to know your voice. I'm not even talking about singing. I want to just sing in my voice the praises of my God. I'm not talking about singing. Lord, I want to mimic you. I want to have a soft answer. I want to walk with the kind of patience that you walk with. I want to have the kind of compassion, Lord, that you have. I want to say yes to you every day in just the littlest ways, how I treat people, how I just love and honor my bride of 34 years. Because it's not about me. And he doesn't revolve around me. It's not about me. It's about honoring him. It means I have to listen very intently. I have to learn to hear him through his word and the church and godly influences and friends who love the Lord. And in worship. In order to get familiar with his voice, I have to minimize distractions. The next point. I have to eliminate or minimize distractions. But when you pray, Jesus said, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes I get into the habit of first thing in the morning, checking out my USA Today news. I see what's going on in the world, right? It's like, oh, that's what's going on. We do need to pray for North Carolina and everything going on there from Hurricane Florence. I was thinking about that today. But sometimes we the first, what's the first thing you go to in the morning? I think the challenge for us here is that we have to leverage whether that it could be a distraction or not. I wonder what would happen if the first voice The first app we drew up was our Bible app. I wonder what would happen if just the first voice was, Lord, I just want to reserve that space for you. How does this flesh out practically? Saying yes to Jesus means listening intently. I believe part of it is if you're married, it means listening to one another. It means listening intently to your spouse, what she's saying. When I'm away from Patty, I hear Jesus. I hear the Holy Spirit. I say between my wife and the Holy Spirit, man, I got this thing. But I hear the heart of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to me. I get to say yes, or I have the choice, the option to say yes. Sometimes it's an impression to reach out to somebody at work. We're just talking about how does God speak. Sometimes just an impression. Like, I don't know why, but I just felt like I need to say hello to you, or I just need to buy you a cup of coffee, or just an impression. That's just, and when you respond to that, it's like, it's saying yes to Jesus. My guess is he's putting that impression in your heart. Or honestly, maybe honestly, it's not being drawn or to reach out to someone at work. Maybe he's got to avoid somebody at work because maybe they want to lead you down a path that isn't a place you need to go. Maybe it's committing to going to or growing in or being, maybe it's generosity. Maybe it's leading maybe in your church. If this is your church, or maybe there's another place you fellowship. Just listening intently to what he's saying. Engaging in conversation with someone who the Lord lays on your heart. How many of you have done this? Where you're just driving along and all of a sudden, man, I haven't seen that guy. I just said driving along, didn't I? And then you pull over in your car and stop the car and you pull out your phone and text that person. Let's just be safe. But I'll text somebody. I was like, wow, I thought about Randy. Well, I wonder how he's doing. Oh, you know, I bet he needs some encouragement. And just send a quick text and just out of random. I think those are ways to say yes to Jesus. It's not this kind of high, like, woo, like I need to hear angels and the sky needs to crack. And no, it's just very simple, practical ways. Let me give you the last point here. Say yes to Jesus every day by getting around other people who are trying to say yes to Jesus every day too. I like this. Just get around other people. For the next 11 weeks, my hope is you'll just want to get around us that are trying to hear Jesus every day. Make a commitment to come on out and be a part of what we're learning together. I'm a sports fan. I love sports. I played sports. I played team sports, football, basketball, baseball, all through my growing up years. And the older I get, the better I was. But beside that, I love team sports. When I see, we'll just say prima donnas kind of get bigger in their head than the sport, I have a hard time with that. I can't watch that. But when I see teams, I'm drawn to that. I like it. I love watching football games. I'm a fan of football. I like watching my team, but honestly, I could watch any team. It doesn't matter. I love watching the game. One of my favorite plays in football, and I'll sometimes play it over and over, is inside the red zone, like 10 yards and in. The quarterback receives the snap. Turns around and hands off to the running back who runs right into a mass of humanity. Have you seen that play? And it's just bodies. It's like a scrum, right? And if you're not watching, the running back, the guy carrying the ball, can kind of disappear. And then all of a sudden, if he's still on his feet, sometimes just with the pressing in of both sides, kind of, they'll stand him up. And if his team is aware, they'll realize their guy's still standing and they'll come behind him. Love this. And they'll start pushing on their guy. And pushing, and pushing, And that guy's not doing anything. He's like, you might as well be a ballerina. He's on his tiptoes now. And they push him over the line. He falls in. Touchdown. Was that his touchdown?
No.
The team got him over. Time after time in this year that we've planted Legacy Church, the team, people that God sent to help us get Legacy going and planted. And there are many times Patty and I were kind of in the middle of the pile, right, just kind of going, I feel it. And all of a sudden it's an encouraging word. It's somebody like Barbara who would say to us every Monday, how can we pray for you guys this week? It's people jumping in and saying, Brad and Amy Hill saying, you know what, we'll lead those kids. We'll lead those kids. You know what that does? I just, Stephen and Jamara, we'll go with those youth. It's hard. This is hard. Soccer, we're going to go for it. This church is a year in where we are because people have said yes to Jesus. That's it. They didn't say yes to Legacy Church. They didn't say yes to Gary and Patty. They said yes to Jesus. It's like, do you feel that? I could see Stephen and Jamar having a conversation. Do you feel like we should do this? Yeah, I feel like we should do it. It's going to be hard. I know it's going to be hard, but we can love on these young people and step in the gap and lead teenagers in relationship with you. Can we do that? Yeah. Let's answer the response. So they answer the response to Jesus first, and then I get a phone call. We got this covered. Jesus first, then a phone call. People becoming the church, living life right here. This is where we thrive, right here. It's not about me anymore. It's about serving Him. Would you bow your heads with me? I want us to pray. I will say this as we close today, that the beginning point to this conversation, we started this message today by saying everything begins and ends with Jesus. Everything. And maybe you're here and you haven't had that, I'll just say that official beginning point with Jesus. You've never, like in a service like this, or maybe at your bedside, but there's never been a point where you said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to serve you. I want to serve you. I don't want to pretend that you're orbiting around me. I want to orbit my life around you. I want a Copernican revolution. Today, you would say, I want to say yes to Jesus. I don't care if you're 10, I don't care if you're 100, and everything in between. You've never said yes to Jesus at a beginning point. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. This is a private decision between you and God. But I'm going to ask you to lift your hand so I can include you in my prayer. Pray for you. If that's you today, say, I want to say yes to Jesus starting today to live my life for Him. Would you just lift your hand up, put it right back down? I want to pray for you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else? You're here. You've never made that commitment or never said that prayer. Would you just lift your hand up, put it right back down? I don't want to miss you. Rest of us, I think our prayer today is, maybe you're with me and you say, you know what, Gary, I just want the courage and the sensitivity to hear His voice even this week. Let's just start out this week. Like tomorrow when I wake up, I need to maybe change some patterns. I need to reset some things in my life. I know I do. I'm telling you, the pastor of Legacy Church needs to reset some things. in order to say yes to Jesus, even to a greater dimension. That's my heart. At another level, I'm believing Him for. If that's you today and you would just raise your hand with me, Gary, would you pray for me? I know God's asking me to reset some things. I need to just, you wanted me to say yes every day. I want to launch into that this week. Come on, amen. Let me pray for us together. Jesus, thank you for every hand lifted today, those who, for the first time, God, we want to say yes. Come into our hearts, Lord. We invite you in. Change our lives. We want to orbit around you, God. We want to follow you. Our heart's cry today is, what can we do? How can we serve you? Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for cutting off the old things that have passed away. Everything becomes new, Lord. Thank you for that. God, thank you today, and I ask you to help, Lord, help those of us maybe who've been walking with you just reset some things this week. Just re-engage in just beginning this process of allowing you to shape us and speak to us and through us to other people, Lord. Begin in us. Help us to walk that out, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite the